today, step up to the plate. Yes. Step up to the plate.
Yes.
Not pull up a chair to the plate.
Come on.
Step up to the plate. You know, the great question in people's minds, above everything else, I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you listen to yourself talk a while, you'll catch on, yep, that is what I think about, or that is what I talk about the most, is what am I here for? That's what everybody wants to know, what I want. Now, I found out a long time ago what I'm here for. Now the question is, will I survive? And often you'll hear people say, I know God has a reason for me to be here. They're not speaking good theology, they're just guessing. But that is good theology. God has a reason for me to be. They act like he has a reason for me to be here, but maybe not everybody else. Sometimes people think that. There's something real special about them. Well, there's something special about everybody. It's the real truth. We don't need to struggle about our purpose for our destiny. We don't need to struggle that we do have to commit to the journey in order to succeed. We don't need to struggle. We need to commit to the journey. So there's nothing to struggle about. Struggling comes from misunderstanding God and misunderstanding his purposes. You could possibly miss the reason for your being here on this earth. Perhaps because of your own personality and temperament, or perhaps because of wrong choices based on your own ego or even rebellion. God has set a destiny over your life. God has set a destiny over your life. When I was all my years in the denominational church, I even preached in denominational church pulpits and the whole business. I didn't have any idea that God had special things that he wanted people to do. I was never told that in my church. We never talked about purpose or destiny. I think our purpose and destiny was to escape hell, maybe. I don't know. Some of them didn't believe in hell. And so we had all kinds of different ideas about it. But God has given you the gifts and strengths to walk in, whatever he's called you to. So don't try to do what somebody else is doing that you can't do. I wouldn't ever want to do some of the things that Heidi Baker already has done. I wouldn't care if it made me the most famous, wonderful person in people's eyes on the earth. There's just things we don't have grace for that God has given to other people. And there's no need to wish and wonder and want what other people are doing, because in some big time of revival, he'll have you doing what you didn't dream you could ever do. In other words, in times of revival, you don't need special gifts. These things just come. But when there's not revival, then there are gifts that God does continue to use with people. So God's given you the gifts and strengths to walk in the destiny for you. He will not make you walk into it, but he may make you miserable outside of it. That's why some people are so miserable. And they look at you. Really and truly, I've had people on airplanes, all kinds of places. I just kind of thought maybe God had a purpose for me. So then I give them about 10 cents worth of what I'm going to share with you this morning. Yeah, yeah. It's all about God having a purpose and our having a destiny. A man endeavoring to fill someone else's destiny will also be miserable. It's like David trying to wear Saul's armor. Do you know where you are? Do you know where you are? How many of you have any idea where you are on the journey? I mean, on the journey. Yeah, I have some idea. It wouldn't be prideful. Well, I know where you're going to end up. But do you have some idea where you are on the journey getting there? The Lord's getting ready right now to make a quick right turn real soon coming up. And he's going to start calling on some people. He's going to start pouring out his glory in a special and a different kind of way. Do you know, have you learned anything lately? Have you? I have. I learned a lot of things I wish I didn't have to learn. Are you making the decisions and choosing the better part? I ministered on that, you know, just a few weeks ago. You can choose the better part. Some people are slow moving into the working realm of their destiny because they lack the faith or the humility to bow before God's purpose for their lives. You know, I've been born again probably a year when someone prophesied over me, "I've called you to be a teacher and a preacher, and you shall minister my word throughout the world." At that same time, another said, "And there's a lady here tonight, and you feel that your feet is in cement. You know it's got to be done. And the nations are calling you. Pack your bags, for you are ready to travel." So I got him in a private place, and I said, "I don't feel ready. What are you talking about?" And he just talked just as straight as he did when he prophesied. His name was Drummond Tom. He was a very famous man. In our June conference, there's going to be three men ministering who are very anointed prophetic ministries. And one of the things they're going to do is they're going to confirm some things that God's going to do. And they're also going to encourage some people about certain things. Olin Griffin, who's been here almost every year of the conference since it was born. Jeff Collins, our missionary from Cyprus and to the whole world. And he is very good and very prophetic, and he encourages hearts. And like with Jane last night, brought a wonderful gift of healing to her. Listen, whatever you do, don't miss these meetings. Cancel your vacation, anything. But I think that these prophetic men are going to be ministering in the evenings so that you all should be able to hear them, and you're going to be blessed by them. And the other one is Olin Griffin's grandson, Landon Benjamin. And he has a prophetic gift. He's over the youth, younger, whatever ministry at one of the Gateway churches in Dallas. These are outstanding people. And Landon also has a message particularly to the younger generation. Bring all the younger people that you can. And let them hear a young man who's really found his way in God, knows how to help other people find their way. Remember last year what a prophetic impact Jeff had touching people's lives and bringing fresh visions. You know, sometimes you need a fresh vision, and you need healing. And this is a gift of God because of the prophetic and the word of knowledge. I believe they'll be ministering in the evening meetings, and maybe some of the morning meetings as well. Don't miss the opportunity to hear a clear word from God about your destiny. Now I want to talk to you just a minute about qualifying for your destiny. God had set a very definite destiny on Peter's life. Jimmy, did God have a destiny set on your life or not? Jane, did he have one set on your life or not? Judy, did you have one set on your life or not? See, people have walked with God. Mike and Fran, did he or not? They have walked in that destiny. They continue to walk in that destiny. And they're not rolling around saying, "What am I here for?" But they're doing the best they can to keep up with God as he's pushing and leading them into his destiny for them. But Peter had some deep problems with lack of courage. Isn't that amazing? His problem was lack of courage. It wasn't trying to get Mary Magdalene to go on a date with him or anything like that. Why not? They've had him with Jesus, you know. Sometimes, every now and then, there's a movie on TV, you know, about the Bible, based on the Bible. I said no to John. I said, "I don't watch those movies. They get it all wrong, and I don't want to listen to it. They just turn it upside down. I never know why." Just so you wouldn't know the truth, I suppose. Luke 22:32, Jesus said to Peter, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." He did not pray for little Peter that he'd never had any problems. He didn't pray that his worst side wouldn't be seen, because it was. He didn't pray that Peter wouldn't make plenty of mistakes, which he did. Right. He prayed what really matters. You can go through everything if your faith doesn't fail.
Right.
And Peter said, and faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. And he said, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now get this. I'm talking to this man. Would you help me over here, please, Jay, for a minute? I am talking to this man who has plenty of calling and plenty of problems. We've been practicing this. Getting better, really getting better, getting better. Peter has this calling, you know, he's going to be the big guy over the church in Jerusalem. And right to his face, and in ordinary conversation, Jesus said to him, now you know you have a problem with courage. You know you have a problem with telling the truth. You know you have a problem with faithfulness. And all these things that were later found out. And it's enough to make a guy want to quit. And the amazing thing is that after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus sent out a special message to Peter. Go tell my disciples and Peter, because some people might have thought he's not a disciple anymore, he's sure backslidden. Well, I've seen people backslide awful. I've seen them backslide for a year or two, three. People can backslide a long time, or they can backslide severely. And if they don't kill themselves while they're out there, God can really use those days in the wilderness. And so we see by the conversation that he has with Peter, God knows our weaknesses and he expects our failures. Number one, you're not shocking God with any way that you fail or any place that you don't quite measure up. Your pride has been hurt, but he knew you were going to do it. And he called you anyway. And secondly, surprisingly, he calls us anyway. He calls us anyway. Do you know why God, you have any idea why God called you? Well, you know, one guy said to me, I thought maybe I'm called to be a pastor. I said, well, what makes you think that? And he said, well, I like to talk a lot. Oh, mercy. He thinks pastoring is about talking. And apparently he thinks he's a pretty good talker. Because if God calls talkers, he's going to call the best talkers if he's after what you've got. And I can imagine the angels saying to each other, now what is it he thinks Sue has that he's calling her? I don't get it. God had made a provision by praying in advance for Peter. See, but I have prayed for you. Satan wants to get you and thresh you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Hallelujah. What we call mistakes and failures, God calls training opportunities. Peter discovered, my mother used to say, if you can't hear, you'll have to feel. I did more feeling than I ever needed to have done. Peter discovered that he had neither the faith nor the courage he thought he had. Did any of you think you had more of some particular thing than you ended up having, really, after all is said and done? I'll have people sometimes ask me if I'll do so and so, and I say, oh, where in the world do you think I get the idea I could do that? Some things I won't do. Just because somebody gives me that calling, I'm not going to do that. And somebody thinks that, you know, if you write books, then you can write something to whatever to make their book right. I said, why don't you get somebody with a big name to endorse your book? You know, so I really surprise people with answers. But you know, most of the time they stay with it. They just can't wait to fail. And they just stay with it. No, I want your name. And I thought, well, suit yourself, but it's the big shots that are going to help you down that road to sell books. Peter discovered that he didn't have the faith or the courage he thought he had. Cowardice and unbelief had to be dealt with. Why? Because you just can't go cowardly when you've got to lead people somewhere.
That's right.
You can't say, I'm not going today, Mama. That's right. We all know that joke here. The guy tells his mama, she says, it's time to get up. And he says, I'm not getting up today. She says, why? He said, I'm not going. She says, you are going too. And he said, what do you mean I'm going to? And she said, because you're 42 years old and you're pastor of the church. Cowardice and unbelief had to be dealt with. It's not about what's happening in God's eyes. It's about what we are allowing him to do in us. Now, really, when you get to the other side of it, it was awful. It was hard to deal with. You almost gave up and threw in the towel and all that kind of thing. But it wasn't about all those things. On the other end, it was, how did you get closer to doing what God wanted you to do? How did you get more qualified to become the person that God wants you to be? Now, I'll tell you something. If you let your destiny or God's call on your life be what God has made it to be, you can have a wonderful life. But if you have determined ahead of time, oh, well, if he's got callings and gifts, then I'm a great person. Mine has to be a great one, please. If you could not figure ahead that you're going to be really great and just settle in at how God seems to be using you and do it well and be faithful to that, and then if something else comes along, you're faithful to that, then you're walking in your destiny. Don't make it difficult, and don't be jealous of other people's destinies. You can't get them anyway. You can sit and be jealous of other people all you want to. It's not going to make you a bit more like them. So the best thing is to bless them, because he'll bless them anyway. And just go on and believe God to meet you. Cowardice and unbelief had to be dealt with Peter before he could be handed the church to oversee. It's about what we are allowing him to do in us. That's the beauty of it. The three universal factors causing stress with us as we walk through these things and wondering, what is it I'm here? What am I supposed to be doing? Are uncertainty, lack of information, and loss of control. Is that true? Uncertainty, I don't know what's going to do next. I don't know how this is going to turn out.
What's going to happen?
I hope some of my prophetic words is what's going to happen next.
Amen.
I've got some really good ones. By the way, I've got some wonderful ones that have already come to pass. So that gives me hope that the ones I have, I'm going to be coming into them in the future. I have one prophetic word that's come about 5 times. We haven't come into it yet, but we will. Now, lack of information. Some of us, if we can't get information, you know what we do? Make it up. I say, come on, let's get this news out there before someone makes it up. And people will start telling each other what it is that's the most amazing thing in the world. Who did it and what it means and what's going to happen next. That's why it's healthy to keep people informed. And when you're walking in your destiny with a church, you will have the information. And you will know what's going to be happening next so that you can all rejoice together. And then there's loss of control. You know, like people start changing the color of the carpet or the flooring in the foyer. I did that and I'm guilty. I like it, don't you?
Yeah.
I think it's really nice. Even the guy that put it in called me and said, I can't get over how pretty this is. Isn't that nice? I just said that in case you didn't like it. But here's something the Lord taught me. Surviving is not enough. And we've got continually to be dealt with, changed, and healed in order to go on and continue in our destiny. How many of you don't want the devil to hijack your destiny? He's not going to do it. So step up to the plate. You know, Claudio Friedson of Argentina Revival tells of his great times of defeat and brokenness immediately after his graduation from seminary. And listen to this, you wouldn't believe this because Claudio is a powerful man now. But for 7 years he preached and no one came. Well, I have to say, I did have a congregation when I started, thank God. So it wasn't quite that bad. They had threatened to come and sit in my front yard on Sunday mornings if we wouldn't have church, because we had bought the property here. So we went ahead and started the ministry here. No one came to church. There were four sweet old ladies and his wife. That's all that would come. Thank God for the sweet old ladies.
And the wife.
If the weather was bad, it was bad enough, only his wife came. If a missionary would come to visit the church, sometimes there would be no one there, no one. And Claudio was greatly humiliated. How many of you believe that God might let people, individuals, pastors, or a church be humiliated before he brings them into, humbled and humiliated before he brings them into what he wants them to be brought into? How many of you think Jesus was ever humiliated? The Lord said something to me the other day. He said, Jesus had to say no to his temptations. That was a test to prove whether or not he could handle the rest of what the Father was giving him. He has to say no to, did I say yes? He had to say yes to rejecting the temptation. He had to say no because God doesn't tempt people. But he allows you to go through temptations that you think, well, this one for sure is going to get me. Claudio isolated two major ways that people stay in bondage from the difficulties and problems and experiences they've had when they need to be free. Two major obstacles that keep us from being free to serve the Lord and live an abundant life. Now, we're not going to step up to the plate if we're not free. Well, maybe people will think, well, maybe somebody won't like. I'm thinking of one of the anchor ladies, Walters. Barbara Walters said, if you're not willing for people to be jealous of you, sit down and refuse to succeed. If you're going to do anything for God, there'll be people that wish God wanted him to do it instead of you. Is that your fault? No. Is it his fault? No. It's because he left all the people here after he called you. Who wrote that book called Couldn't We Just Kill Them and Tell God They Died? Kathy Lechter. Couldn't we just kill them and tell God they died? But what happens is, he gives you a gift, he gives you a purpose, and then he leaves the other people there too. And then that's where the trouble's going to begin. That works you through a qualification time. Do you get it? That's what it's about. Three things I want to share these with you, and then I have something I want to share from a very famous book called Prayer in Another Dimension. Number one, feeling defeated. These are the major obstacles. In my notes, I say there are two major obstacles, and then I have three. Never mind. I think it's two and a half. Number one, feeling defeated. Feelings of inadequacy. Because of the things you've been through, because you failed, because you didn't make it the last time, because people in that church don't even want you to come back anymore. Well, don't go there. Come here. Anyhow, whatever the feeling is, feelings of inadequacy, I didn't measure up. Hey, this is a new day. And if God has a destiny for you, it's going to be different this time. By the way, have you ever thought You're different than you were back when you failed. You've learned a lot since then. You've experienced a lot. Feelings of inadequacy, incompetence, and unworthiness are the first things that hold us back, regardless of how successful we may actually be. Some people really are competent and can really do some things, but they're always biting their nails about, was it good enough and can I really do this? Well, I settled that. I know I can't do this. That's why I pray regularly. Number two, unresolved suffering. The inability to find, now this is Claudio. Unresolved suffering, the inability to find an explanation for our past and present suffering. In other words, you're carrying a cross and you don't know how to understand it and how to deal with it. And Jesus said, you got to pick up that cross and follow me. Some people just back right out of serving God because the suffering got too hot when they were serving God before. There will be suffering. Jesus' suffering was horrendous. And there will be suffering among all of those who follow him. Have you ever read that scripture that I just quoted? Take up your cross daily and follow him. We have crosses to bear. People don't understand us. They don't like us. They can't figure us. Catherine Kuhlman said, her sister said to her one day, oh, Catherine, I can never understand you. And I said to her, no, darling sister, and you never will. They're not going to understand you. Quit trying to make yourself acceptable. When we came out to do this ministry, we didn't make a bit of sense to anybody. You know, John had just got promoted to senior research chemist. Good enough job. Well, he just told him, but I have another call on my life. I have to go and do what God has asked me to do. He had people around him, John, honey, don't sell your house. That'll be the wrong thing to do. Really. Well, I had a little child in my house yesterday, and that little child looked at me and said, this is the most beautiful, pretty house I ever saw. And that's the house that I got after I gave the other one away, and this one's paid for. Pitiful, poor, pitiful people having to serve Jesus like this, carrying crosses. You can't outgive the Lord. And the third thing is, not good enough. You know what makes me not good enough, feel not good enough? I feel not good enough when I feel that someone was chosen for something that I thought perhaps I would have been. The enemy will ride in on that. You weren't good enough, you know. Or you find out that you offered somebody something, but no thanks, they got it somewhere else because you weren't good enough. The enemy likes to tell you. How many of you know the spirit of accusation never quits talking? And that's from the devil. I believe this is one of the greatest areas we need healing. Perhaps we've not been valued or accepted, and our failures have been magnified when we were children, or when we were in college, or when we were in grad school. Or wherever it is, anywhere along the line, the devil can still make you think you're not good enough. One time, Nick Welch got a plane. We were going somewhere overseas, and I was going to meet him there. And the plane, he got the plane that was going from the East Coast, which I looked, and it's going to be so much shorter flight. And I couldn't get that one, so I got the one that went the other way, and it was going to be harder and so forth and so on, you know, because I'm not good enough to get the good flight. Now, this is how the devil works with you. And Nick, he's a nice guy, and all this blabbing. And then I find out that flight was canceled, and he had to stay in the terminal another day before he could get one out, and he had a miserable trip. I promise you, I never wish his trip to be miserable. I just wish that mine could be more comfortable than it was looking. But what the Lord said to me is, you don't really know much of anything, do you? You just look at things and think this is how they are. Where do you get your information? Get it from your own head. Now, what kind of a source is that? Perhaps we've not been valued or accepted, and our failures have been magnified. There's an imprint made on our psyches from childhood. I've shared with you about some of my sensitivities and where they've come from. And perhaps you haven't received much affirmation or attention as a child. This is where feelings of insecurity and inferiority come from. You know, my husband, John, might be the most affirming person on earth. He affirms everybody. He affirms little children. He affirms. He affirms our dog, Star. He affirms me every day of my life. It is the most amazing thing. My mother affirmed me. My daddy affirmed me. Don't know too much about it. Not broad spread in school and everywhere, but there was some really good affirmation. You need affirmation, and you need it from God, and it's wonderful when it comes from your relatives and other people who love you. You know, Fran and Mike are gone, so I can say this freely. They know how this is going to end, but they don't. But I understand they need to get on the road. They're so sweet they bothered to take the time to come by here and come to church first. Isn't that neat? I think it's really great. So one day when I was really sick and really, really feeling bad and spending a lot of time just lying down and not getting up, here came Mike and Fran to the door with a present for me that day, and it was a newborn little lamb. Now, who but Mike and Fran would know to bring me a newborn lamb to cheer me up? Isn't that the most precious thing? That's affirmation. They affirmed me in myself. Who I am, this person needs a new lamb. Let's get her one. You will either create pretense or confidence, even boastfulness, to cover these feelings. For you will withdraw, assuming others will always be preferred. A lot of people just sort of stay over in the corner, and they just don't say very much. But you've got to find out this one great secret and the answer to this problem. My Father loves me and accepts me. My Father loves me. And we've got to get over the spirit of orphanage. And it's got to be replaced with the spirit of adoption.
Right.
And just say to everybody, trust me here, believe this, or somewhere along the way, Satan is going to short circuit what God has for you. Romans 8:15, for you've not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, just like we sang this morning. It was so delightful and so fresh. But you have to know that you are God's and you belong to Him. He that dwells in the secret place shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And if you keep on praying, you're going to be kept by God. That's His promise. And disappointed is the wrong word, because He knows everything from beginning to end. He, of course, would have preferred you done something other than that sin you committed. That's the way to say it. But He doesn't love you any less. And I want to tell you something about God, and I want you to take it home with you. God will forgive you. People don't understand forgiveness, because they forgive, and some little later the video comes back again, they replay it again, they get mad at you all over again. Or somebody asks them about it, and they say, well, I'll just be honest with you. No, don't be honest. It's the wrong time to be honest. And some people say, I'll just be honest. No, you're not being honest, you're just being open. Honesty is truth, and truth is love, and love covers. You're under no obligation at all to report people's sins and to say this, that, and the other kind of thing. But we like to do that. Sam Sasser told this story that I thought was so tender. Sam Sasser is such a tender man, and he found out that a deacon in his church had committed adultery with someone else in the church, because it never happens in the modern day church, but back then it did. And so he said, I was young and I just got up from the pulpit and just blasted the sin of adultery, and people like that are going to hell. And he said his poor sad people just got sadder and sadder. Now, obviously they have repented and have told someone about it, else all these people wouldn't know about it. So he stands up and preaches on it anyway, as if that's going to do any good now. It's not going to get them out of the adultery. I mean, if they have turned from it. So after the church service ended, the people, single file, went to the home of the deaconess and the elder. I think they lived near each other. And they started singing this song, something His Love, can you remember the name of it? Judy. Just because you're in the family, that's why I pick on you about this. Something about His wonderful love, God's wonderful love. And they stood outside crying, the people singing the song, they cried until the couple came out together to acknowledge their sin and be forgiven of it. And Sam said, I didn't know how to get people free from sin. They went and sang to them about the love of God. And when they saw the love of God and that the people were there to forgive them, not to condone them, not to pat them on the back, but to forgive them and to bring them back home, that it so affected their hearts. And I believe that we have to understand, ask God to open up to you the understanding that we be free from the spirit of the orphanage. God is not going to turn His back on you just because you do something. The moment that you come to get forgiveness of that, He actually does forgive you. I've had people come and ask my forgiveness, sometimes for pretty awful things. Maybe it didn't have anything to do with me, but it was pretty awful. And I said, well, okay, you've asked God to forgive you, and I declare that you're forgiven. And I've had them say, is that all? I said, well, you want Him to get out the ugly stick and beat you, or what? God's not like that. And you're going to be free. You're going to be free from the moment that you ask for forgiveness and you get that forgiveness. That's what makes the kingdom wonderful. Now, and the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, believe, no matter what other thing is trying to keep you from your destiny, believe that your Father who called you and put a destiny, and by the way, you don't have to know exactly what it is. I mean, it may morph into something else in the next 2-3 years. But you need to know that you're being faithful to God at this time, to what He's called you to do, and you are open to obey God from this point on. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I found this wonderful book. It's called Prayer in Another Dimension. And I really wanted to read it to you out of the book, so I took the chance I could bring all this together. And that there would be enough light, it doesn't look too bad. And I thought, you know what? I want to be just as real as we can be today, because we're getting ready to take another step in usefulness and walking into and embracing the call that God has on our lives. And so what I want to do is I want to give us that opportunity. Would you stand just for a moment for me, please? And I want to give an opportunity for you to get yourself established or reestablished in your destiny. Well, all that means is obedience. I want to be obedient to what it is. Have any of you ever felt God wanted you to do something in your life and you just didn't want to do it? Let me see. You ever felt like that? And how many of you didn't do it? And then you didn't do it for a long time, and then you got pretty sorry And then after that, you said, this might be the time to obey. When you learn enough that you're able to, and when you hurt enough that you need to, that's the perfect time to come to full obedience to God. So I want to call you back to stepping up to the plate. For a while, I tried to get involved in things, and this and that happened. I got disappointed. Well, honey, as long as you live before Jesus comes, things are going to disappoint you. So don't let that affect your life. You just got to go on from that point. So what I want to do, this is a very serious call, and because of that, I'm using African prayers. Listen, when I was writing this book, Duncan Williams gave me his prayer summit notes with the scriptures, and I had been in a prayer summit with me. Yeah, you take those and you use them any way you want to use them. And so it is so wonderful how they dig into the Word and they get powerful prayers that they can pray over their lives and over their situations so that they can be established. They really do believe if they proclaim and agree together that their prayers are going to be answered. How many want your prayers about your destiny to be answered, huh?
Yes.
Okay, now will you stand? Will you just come up here and let's pray on this together. I'm going to just lead you out in a prayer with the scripture, and you will be praying biblically. Yeah, if you just sort of make it just a little loop around here. They kept making mistakes when they were doing this book. They first put it out as prayer in the fifth dimension. It's actually prayer in another dimension. And I think they misspelled my name. They just did a number of different things. Could I have some people right here in the middle so I won't have to be by myself? Okay.
I'm scared of you,
man. I know that. Got a real reason to be. How many of you know, to some degree or another, I have a destiny on my life given by God? Let me see your hands. Well, then it's my fault, and I receive the blame. You see, we came through a lot of our lives not knowing that we had any destiny or anything else. Some of us Methodists thought we'd find out whether we got to heaven or not when we got there. And it's the truth.
That's true. We had to wait.
We didn't really know. That'd be prideful. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. That's what I told John's mother when she was afraid of dying, and she was close to dying. And so she said, well, how can I be sure? And I quoted her that scripture, and she began to cry. And this is the way, I just loved the way that she would talk. And here's what she said, honey, I knowed if anybody could explain this to me, you could. We need to be good explainers of the gospel.
Yeah.
We need to be able to tell, the scripture says, give a reason for the hope that is within you, right?
Amen.
Okay, now you people with a destiny, ask the Lord that those who may be hindering your promotion will be overthrown. Now, you're going to be, we're talking about divine elevation is the name here. They really do believe God promotes people. And they believe that they have to pray over their destinies, or else enemies will cut them down. I promise you that there are enemies. You may not know them or know of them or what their names are, but there are enemies that will hinder you if you don't keep these things covered with prayer. So I'm going to, this scripture, let me read it to you first. Psalm 75, 6 and 7, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge, and he puts down one, and he sets up another. Now you settle this right now, that God's call is his call.
Yes, it is.
And he's put it on your life, and nobody can take the call away from you that God has put on your life. I don't think I could be like Moses and say, oh, deliver me from these people. I don't think he'd even answer that prayer. Because he has flat put that coal there. He has just put that coal there. And I know it's there, and the enemy has many ways of fighting there. I want you to see this. Promotion cometh from the Lord.
Nobody can have my
promotion.
Nobody can have my promotion.
And I gladly walk in it. And you know, Tommy, we can have little physical things that we have to deal with from time to time. And yet, nobody can change anything call that God has made on your life or my life. Nothing interrupts that. And he may tweak it here and that, but the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And here's another one to pray against. You guys think that maybe anybody wouldn't want you to succeed? The devil's just full of that stuff. Now, what he does is he puts ungodly thoughts in perfectly nice human beings' heads. Well, he got in Ananias and Sapphira, right in there. And the Word of God says that he did it. So, good Christian people can sometimes receive something. They think they're thinking it. But it's the devil using them. A lot of good things are on the way to happen that the devil's on the way to send whatever he can to keep it from happening. You need to know that. And they would just pray about these things all the time. Declare that those who are expecting your harm will be surprised by your promotion. Isn't that great? Psalm 12, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. He won't let them gobble you up. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. It'd be like Donnie Dye, who got exceeded one day and said, he'll deliver us from the fare of the snowler. And here's one more. Announce that the day of your promotion is here, in Jesus' name. You've waited a long time, but the day of your promotion is here. And here's the scripture, Psalm 102. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. Now, how's God going to do these wonderful things without some of us wonderful people to do it through? This is what he's been working on us for and about for a long time, getting you fixed. So that you can do, it's really just like sometimes I'll say to people, I want you to help me with this and that. Can I get you to do this and that? It's the same way he uses us. He says, there's some things that I want to do, and you're the ones that I've chosen to do. There's some of you that he can set to a job, and he doesn't even have to check in with you. He knows you're going to finish that. And because you've had experience, and you've had plenty of opportunities through the years, and now the time has come that all heaven's going to break out. Amen. And the Lord is going to start using you really, really strongly for what you have desired to be used for. And I want you, looking toward our conference that's coming up, starts the, is it the 17th, somebody?
18th.
When that conference comes, you're going to be learning things that will really help you take the next step. But not only that, you could receive a prophetic word that might establish you in your calling, or it might give you some level of direction, or as this came to Jane last night, heal you deeply. And we're talking about people coming together and the Holy Ghost moving. We're not talking about, hey, we're going to come out there the next time you have so-and-so speaker. I wish people could catch on and know that the Holy Ghost is working and you don't have to have certain speaker in order to do that. Now, let me tell you one more thing because I want to make sure I don't forget this, and I'm going to pray for you. And then we'll go and you'll see if you can beat the Baptist to the table, but you probably can't. Because their pastor lets them out but sooner than I do. But listen, here's my good news. This is it's special. I've never done this before. I'm going to do it next Sunday. I want you to be here. Call your friends. Call people in the church. Tell them, okay, you're back from your vacation. It's time to get back to church. Now, I've been asking the Lord, Lord, give us some fresh word, fresh revelation and word about healing because of various people who need to be healed. And so that the body of Christ can serve you better. And so I was talking with Sandra Kennedy yesterday. And she said, I've got to tell you. Sam, you can sit down if anything bothers you. That's just fine. You sit down, Joan. You all don't sit down. Don't always sit down. And she said, I got to tell you the most exciting thing that happened. The Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to teach healing out of the 91st Psalm. As the 91st Psalm, as a place of healing, not just as a place of protection, as we often have it to be. And the very first prayer that she prayed for the people was that they would be delivered from people attacking you. What's that word?
Accusation.
Accusation. From the spirit of accusation, teaching out of that new version. Yeah, and the way that it has it in there, that's what it says. And she said, I'm going to tell you that the day we live in, that's much more prevalent than it used to be because Jesus is coming very soon. And the scripture says that in the New Testament, various places, that parents are going to be accused by their children. You know, don't they take them to court and divorce them now and things like this? There needs to be a lot of healing. If the people in the body of Christ that are marked with destiny fulfill their destinies, then they've got to be healed of the things that hold them back and the doubt that rankers, you know, somewhere in the background. And so we want to see this happen. So she said she ministered on healing out of that. And so we talked about it a while, and I said, well, now, I think that's just exactly what our congregation needs to hear just about right now. And I said, if it's okay with you, I'm just going to go ahead and preach that. And, oh, fine. That's the reason I told you, Sue. So I'm going to teach on healing out of Psalm 91. It's going to be very refreshing. And I'm going to sort of bring that forth and minister it as she did. Now, here's what she said. Afterwards, more people came forward when I asked them to and that had received a healing in that prayer at the end of that message than I've ever had in any meeting. And so she kind of feels like that she got the ear of God about a fresh approach to a healing message for now. And I said, you know, before we have our conference, we need ourselves as healed as we can get. And I'm going to believe that. So we're going to do that next Sunday morning. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Pastor is not going to do this during the conference. She is going to do it this next Sunday morning. Okay. And I believe that God's going to help us with that. So you guys be praying about it. Aren't you ready for me to pray for you about this thing with your destiny? I'm going to ask you a question. Eyes closed and heads bowed. How many of you is it sacred or very special to you that you know and walk in your destiny? I'm going to see your hand. You can never be happy till you do that. You can never be happy until you really walk in His destiny. Now, Father, I pray for your people. Today is a day of revelation.
Yes. Yes.
It comes a revelation about our destinies. The enemy is going to quit lying to us about we're not qualified and we can't and we didn't and we failed. We are healed of the past.
Yes.
And we declare in Jesus' name that today is just like we first came to this church and said, here, I'm wonderful. How can you use me? And we just say, Lord, we are not going to let past failures get in our way. Peter didn't. And that's what qualified him. He let those failures make him into. Of course we fail, Lord, and that's what keeps us humble. And that's what keeps us how you keep showing us who we really are and how much we really do need you. Now, Lord, I bless this congregation and I bless everyone standing here today. And I say the enemy will not hijack your destiny. He will not. And you will not in any way be frustrated about it, but you will in love and in faith step into it, walk into it, and thank God for it. And have the expectation, yes, God has a reason for me to be here, and he called me here to this house, and we're going places and we're doing things. And I want to have the strength and the faith and everything that I need to be a part of that. So, Lord, I just lift my hands to you and I say, bless me in my destiny for your praise and honor and glory.
Yes, Lord. We agree.
And I want you to say, devil,
you
cannot hijack my destiny.
You cannot hijack my destiny.
I'm going where God has set me to go. Jesus, forgive me.
Jesus, forgive me.
For ways that I've stumbled.
For ways that I've stumbled.
And missed the mark.
And missed the mark.
But that's not going to keep me from going on.
Because you give me grace and revelation.
And our best days are yet to come.
And our best days are yet to come.
Hallelujah.